when the Korean War broke out.
So we're talking what year now?
1950.
And that was the year you'd gone to OU.
Right. That was the year. And I dropped out of OU that year and mobilized with the 45th because I was a member of the National Guard. I had no choice. Me and two of my brothers, Kevin and Johnny, were members of the 45th. So we mobilized and basic at Camp Polk, Louisiana, now Fort Polk. Then, boy, through the Panama Canal and across the Sea of Japan and into Korea. And then we got stuck on Hokkaido, the northernmost island. And we waited and we waited, the whole 45th Division. And come to find out, I overheard Captain Philip Fultz, my commanding officer, say that Bob Kerr didn't want us in Korea. And he'd put the muscle on the Defense Department. And I told my brothers that we both transferred out. Yeah, all of us transferred out.
And where did you go?
Yeah, I went to Korea. That's where I wanted to be. We said three Hail Marys at the foot of the altar after every Mass for the conversion of Soviet Russia. And he went to the 6th Cav.
He?
My brother, Kevin. I went to the 1st Cav, and my brother, Johnny, went to the engineers, Army engineers. Johnny blew the Han River Bridge when 180,000 Chinese came across the border and kicked our butts clear back to Pusan. Wow, he blew the Han. He was one of the sappers, sapper team, they called him, and it blew the bridge, and that, you know, that halted them temporarily till they could make repairs. In the meantime, our commanding general made a smart decision. We disembarked at Pusan and went around to Incheon and landed and cut the Chinese off. And then the peace talks started at Panmunjom. But in the meantime, my brother Kevin was killed on Heartbreak Ridge.
Tell us about that.
He got a Silver Star. Well, first of all, damn it, during the peace talks, he came by my outfit one day, and boy, I was really surprised. And I said, "I thought you had frostbite." And he said, "Just two toes." And I said, "That was your ticket home." He said, "No, I'm going back to my outfit."
Could have left.
He could have left. And boy, you ought to read the citation, the Silver Star.
And how did his death happen? What was the circumstance?
Well, he was leading a squad up Heartbreak Ridge, and he was wounded, and he kept on leading his squad. And they took the hill. They took Heartbreak Ridge. I don't know if you saw the Clint Eastwood's crummy movie on that, but it was pretty fairly accurate. And boy, my dad was never the same.
How did you learn about your brother's death?
The field phone, my CO said, "You're wanted on the field phone." We had strung lines, so we had telephone communications. And he said, "I'm Chaplain so-and-so. Are you sitting down?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Your brother Kevin has been killed." The normal transition is for you to pick up his body in Tokyo and take it home. And I did. We arrived at McAllister at the depot. And there probably, well, the newspaper said, and McAllister News Capital said, there were more than 2,000 people there to greet him. Wow. He was something else. He wasn't my favorite brother, but he was something else. And my brother Bernard tried to join. He was the third oldest, and he tried to fake the eye chart at Camp Chaffee because he was blind in one eye. He later had surgery, and they perfected that surgery. But he tried to fake the eye chart, and he felt, till the day he died, he thought it was unfair that he didn't go in service with us. And my brother Jerry, 22 months younger, joined the 82nd Airborne. Wow. And I've got a picture of all of us in line in uniform, and is amazing. Those Troy boys were amazing.
So after the funeral then of your brother Johnny, and you go back?
Yep. I went to Fort Sill. They handed me my duffel bag and said I was in the standby ready reserves for 5 years.
Oh, so then you
yeah,
were...
Yeah, that was it. So I didn't have to do 2 years in Korea.
Because your brother...
February 18th, 1952 was the day he died, and subsequent to that I brought his body home by ship and then by rail. And then I needed to get busy, and so I took a job at the Muskogee Daily Phoenix. John Lewis Stone, we were a dry state, right? And he sent me over to the police station, and I came back with two peck sacks full of whiskey, and I set them on his desk in his office. And I said, "What is this?" And he said, "LaRue, my wife, is going to have a little deal. She's a lady golfer, and have a deal at the country club. And they're just going to pour it in the sewer anyhow." And I said, "I quit. I quit." And he said, "I'll save you the trouble. You're fired." So, boy, there I was. I borrowed $300 from my mother-in-law because we had some bills to pay in Muskogee. And I got a... I called the Oklahoma Press Association, and they said, "There's a job in Lawton." I worked for the Lawton Constitution very briefly, and then that paper was owned by the Chamber of Commerce. He was the president of the Chamber of Commerce. So I moved to KSWO Radio and TV.